You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:35pm with Gordon Brown, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell in the studio. Great day to look forward to as well, with day two of the Dubai Future Champions Festival at Newmarket, including the Dewhurst and the Cesarewitch on that card. So a real good card to look forward to there. Good racing at York, jumping from Chepstow and Hexham, and all other action in the evening from Chelmsford City. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Ross Brierley. How are you, Ross?
Hello, Mark Walton.
We're going to look ahead to Saturday's action. We've got two races at Newmarket and two at York to get stuck into. Before we get to that, though, let's just have a little peruse through the news as we usually do. Oh, it rhymed and I didn't even mean it to.
Oh, it's lovely.
Yeah.
Look at you flipping open the newspaper like you haven't already thought about what you're going to ask me. Oh, let's see what's happening.
Yeah. Let's start with racing history. Because apparently they're very much considering supplementing racing history to run in the Champion Stakes. Wise move for you?
Yes.
Good. Yeah,
definitely.
Simple as that.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Incredibly progressive, very much a photocopy of his brother Farr, in the sense that, you know, he's very much progressed through the ranks. Recorded a very strong figure for winning a Group 3 at Windsor last time out, on the up, fresh, unexposed, beat a horse in Cannock Chase last time out, who's come out and franked the form by bolting up next time. The 3rd Battalion won next time out. The 4th Not So Sleepy ran its best race to date on its next start after that. Fascinating Rock, it was fit. Everything's come out of that, basically, and yeah, Frank the form. So, yes, definitely.
The market looks like this at the moment. Jack Hobbs 6-4, 6-1 for Free Eagle, 7-1 for Intilac. Found is 8-1 with the Corsican and Time Test. Vadamos is 8-1, 12 for Fascinating Rock. Elm Park 14s, and Racing History in there at 14-1. Sir Stazegle, the old boy as well, 16-1 in that market. So, 14-1 about right? Or value?
I think 14-1 is a good price, yeah. Mm. Again, I like the fact that Jack Hobbs takes up so much of a chunk of the market does free open the betting a little bit. And given that there is a potential for him being a little bit outspeeded over the trip. I mean, I always thought Interlock was the rock solid champion stakes performer early on in the season. I thought that is definitely going to be the end of season target. Of course, a lot depends on ground as well. You know, we start to get into this time of the year and it's inevitably going to be pretty soft. But no, in terms of racing history, yeah, I think it's a good price. I think it's a good move.
Any rain would probably benefit him as well, wouldn't it?
It certainly wouldn't be a negative.
All right. Anything else for Champions Day caught your eye so far? I mean, there's plenty of good stuff coming up, but it's maybe a little bit early to get stuck into it.
We've still got future Champions Day to get
exactly,
through.
Exactly, yeah. Let's worry about next year's champions before this year's.
Exactly. That's the wrong way. Yeah, all right, but you're right.
Yeah. All right, a bit of other news. Put your jumps cap on, Ross, because there's a couple of jumps.
I don't have one.
You don't like the jumps, do you?
No, I do like the jumps. I just don't...
Own a cap.
I just don't own a cap. I just can't wear caps. I've got a fat head.
Fair enough. Tidy Grugy was planned to make his reappearance at Chepstow on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's a couple of pieces of work still short of that, so we probably won't see him Sunday, but... What do you make of him this season? We were having a little chat in the office and we gave the old adage, they never come back. Do you feel that?
Well, I don't know, because last season was such a bizarre year for him. I mean, he'd had the year before where everything went right for him. And he was, you know, pretty much bulletproof. And then last year, well, it was dodging bullets. It was who had exactly the same thing. It seems that in that division, this one horse every year is on the top of their game.
Yeah.
And I think inevitably, Sider Grugy is going to find another horse on the up who's going to have that kind of year. So I think it's going to be a bit of a struggle for him. But last year was too bad to be true. So it can only get better in terms of connections it can't be much worse than last year, where it was just it seemed like they were chasing the tail and trying to make up for lost time, but they didn't really have a plan.
Yeah.
So it'd be nice to see him back, but I think he's going to struggle against younger legs. Oh. And I do have a jumps cap. It's just I haven't bought it yet. It's only the 9th of October. You see.
Not far away.
Well, I've still got a month of the flat season yet. Until that naps table's over.
Which you are top of, so yeah, I can see why you concentrate on that.
It's getting exhausting, I'll be honest with you. Can we just end it soon? Can I cash out now?
Yeah. No. No, you can't. Well, we're on the subject of younger legs and younger chasers. More of that, who was a world hurdle winner a couple of years ago, only had one run last season, didn't go to plan. He's going to go chasing, apparently. That's the plan.
Yeah, again, the world hurdle division is... It's not the most starry of angles to go far, so he's been there, he's done that, and traditionally the John Joe O'Neill stable are much more interested in chasers, so he's certainly got the quality to rise to the top in that division. So it'd be interesting to see him, be aimed at the RSA. Then again, he's got a couple of options, I suppose, in that sphere. Again, another good move. Last year was too bad to be true. Again, it was just a write-off. It's fine.
Yeah,
nothing too bad happened. It just didn't go to plan for him. So they start afresh this season.
Yeah. The thing is, he won the World Hurdle so young that they probably would have stayed over hurdles for last year if it had gone to plan and then aimed at chasing anyway, wouldn't they? So.
But he's got time on his side, so he'll be fine.
Yeah. Anything else got your eye?
No, not particularly, no.
No?
No.
Good. Right, let's move on then.
In all honesty, no.
Just
take it each day as it comes, Mark. Yeah. What can I say?
So let's move on to the next day.
All right.
Saturday, great racing to look forward to. We'll get Ross's thoughts in the big races on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll start with the two races at York and then we'll move to the two races at Newmarket. So the 250 at York is where we start. This is the Rockingham Stakes, a listed race over 6 furlongs for the two-year-olds. Several nice two-year-olds in here as well, Ross. So how do you see it going on Saturday?
Yeah, I think most eyes will be on Don Juan Triumphant after his impressive win at Ayr last time in a handicap company. He absolutely shot clear. On the one hand, it was an improved performance. On the other hand, it was one that had been coming because he'd been a little bit unlucky not to have broken the maiden by then. He's starting to get a bit of a reputation, but at Haydock before that, he should have won. He just went off too quick in front and got collared. Ayr, Jack Garrity timed it to perfection, and he retains the ride here today as well. There's always a slight worry in the back of my mind about Ayr form transferring. It does seem that a lot of trainers, a lot of horses are aimed at that meeting and then they don't necessarily build on it. So that would be the slight worry for Don Juan Triumphant. I'd be more inclined to go with King Robert, who won 2 small field races at Chester and Carlisle and then ran a much improved race, I thought, last time out in the Mill Reef behind Ribchester and Logout Island. Logout Island's come out and won the 2-year-old trophy quite cosily the other day at Redcar. And it was a big step up in grade for him and I thought he performed with a fair amount of credit. So I think this is a little bit easier for him. Gracious John would also have to be a worry backup in trip, but I'm going to stick with King Robert.
King Robert, the selection for Ross then in that race at York. Moving on to the 3:25 at York next. This is the Sprint Trophy. It's a handicap over 6 furlongs for 3-year-olds and older. Just the 20 of them in the lineup here. Ross, nice easy puzzle for you to solve. I'll just spin through the betting quickly as well. George Bowen 6-1, 10-1 for Poyle Vinny and Golden Steps. Susie's Connoisseur another at 10s, 12-1 for Gofar, Highland Acclaim, Bubbly Bellini and Name It What You Like, 14-1 for Aitner and 16s or bigger for the others. I'm quite glad it's you previewing this race and not me.
God help us all. Yeah, this is one of those races where you might look at it as a punter and say, I've backed that, oh, and that, oh, I've had that before. And you could have backed every single horse pretty much at some point during the season. Again, George Bowen's going to be all the rage. He's very much on the upgrade for Richard Fahey. Beaten last time out, bang on the line in the Silver Cup by stablemate Tat Lisu, who also reopposes here today. You've got Poyle Vinny as well, who was second in the Ayr Gold Cup. So, again, that's probably the best piece of form. He's going to be respected. But you could throw loads of these in. I'd be tempted to take a chance on 2 at bigger prices. One is Highland Acclaim, who's been pretty frustrating all season. But he does like it round here at York. He's got a good record at the track, and he's off a nice mark. A couple of runs this season give him leading claims. He's fifth in the Portland, and his second to Caspian Prince back in August here, where he looked likely to pick up the front runner but didn't. And I've been following Moonraker pretty much off a cliff this season, so I'm going to stick with him as well. Two good runs at this track in a decent handicap at a listed race. And then last time out behind the Tin Man, he obviously had no chance with that horse, who absolutely hacked up. But he's a little bit too keen. I think the bigger field here and the stronger pace will suit him. So I'd go for Highlander Claim and Moonraker, both drawn opposite ends of the track as well. So you've got those two things covered.
Couple against field then for us in the Sprint Trophy. To Newmarket we go for their big races. The 310 is the Dewhurst. And this is a 7 furlong group one for the 2-year-olds. The market looks like this at the time of recording. 11 to 10 joint favourites, Air Force Blue and Emotionless. Masati's 14 to 1 with Tashweek. 20 to 1 for Sanus Paraquim and 40 to 1 or bigger prices for the other two. Interesting how the market has formed for this over the last few days, Ross, because Emotionless was odds on, now out to 11 to 10, and Air Force Blue shortening up to 11 to 10. So there's not much between them. Looking forward to seeing the match. Do you see it as a match, and which way does it go?
Yeah, it probably is a match, although I still think Sanus Paraquim is potentially a little bit overpriced with his course form at, what is it, 16-21. Yeah, there's just that thing in the back of your mind, isn't there, that with Godolphin Juveniles, where they do often go to places like Doncaster and look wildly impressive, and they don't necessarily back it up when it comes to the big occasion. So I think that's maybe in the back of a few people's minds. And again, it's likely to be pretty, or in theory, softer ground than he's encountered so far as well. So there is that slight worry. Air Force Blue, in contrast, has run twice at the Curragh, including yielding ground last time out. And he's more experienced as well. I think in a race like the Dewhurst, I would always side with experience over potential. So I'm inclined to go for Air Force Blue. Again, Emotionless looked wildly impressive, and there was a lot of hype about him at Doncaster. I mean, even the commentator was going off the scale for it. But I think when it comes down to a battle, I think Air Force Blue might well have a bit more in the locker. You've got Massart and Tashweek as well, who were very lightly raced. Tashweek quickened up nicely off a decent pace at Doncaster last time out, and Massart's completely unexposed. He bolted up at Leicester practically in second gear. We don't quite know how good he is. And as I said, Sanus Paraquim's got form in the book as well, but yeah, always inclined to go for experience in these kind of races at the back end of the season. So Air Force Blue would be the pick.
Air Force Blue. The selection for Ross then in the Dewhurst. I just want to mention one of the market that we've got on site with relation to the Dewhurst is to win the Dubai Dewhurst Stakes and the 2,000 Guineas. Air Force Blue 7-1, Emotionless 7-1, 80-1 for or bigger for the others. But the reason I... From a value perspective, yeah, whichever wins is not going to be 7-1 for the Guineas.
No, to be fair, yeah. And also, in recent years, the Guineas has been quite a weak race, actually, in a sense that you often get one horse dominating it. So Air Force Blue 7-1 might not be the worst, because, as I said, he might turn up, as you said, he might turn up 3-1, 5-2 on the day. So,
well, he's already 4-1 for the Guineas now, so...
Well, yeah, there you go then, yeah.
He's only going to shorten if he wins impressively, isn't he? So.
Yeah, true. Yeah, it just depends whether you
think he'll then go on to.
Well, it's not necessarily whether you think he will. It's just whether you're willing to make that investment. I suppose it depends how strongly you feel about him. But it wouldn't be my type of bet necessarily. But then I'm more a day-to-day approach kind of punter than a long-term dreamer.
Well, for you long-term dreamers out there, 7-1 about either of those in the Guineas looks pretty good if you get the right winner of the Dewhurst, of course. Let's move on to the final race we'll look at. Nice, easy one to finish as well. The 350 at Newmarket is the Cesarowicz Heritage Handicap over 2.25 miles. It's for 3-year-olds and older. Low-key, 7-1 at the top of the market. 9-1 for Quick Jack and Heartbreak City. 10-1 for William of Orange. Renetti shortened up from 12s into 10s. 14s for Bayan. 16-1 for Nearly Caught and Moscato. And 20-1 or bigger prices for the others. As open as you would expect, Ross, plenty of interesting ones in there. So which ones have made your shortlist?
I suppose Heartbreak City is top of the shortlist. I was very impressed with the way he weaved his passage through at York. He should have absolutely no problems with this kind of trip. He's been kept fresh for this race as well. He's nicely drawn in 9. Again, that's another big thing. It's always a big positive to be drawn low in the Cesarowicz. And I just don't think much to the Cesarewitch trial that Lowkey won. I mean, it's been Frank Cotton Club came out and won at Chelmsford last night. He finished fifth, but I don't know. I thought they were all in a bit of a heap, and it wasn't a particularly strongly run race. Lowkey's very much on the up, but he's drawn out in 20. I think he's going to struggle a little bit. You've got William of Orange as well, who was a bit disappointing last time in Group 2 company, but obviously that's a massive step up. And also Moscato for Sir Mark Prescott, who was a bit disappointed behind Lowkey. But the each way play would probably be Oriental Fox, who's been running in group races recently, but ran a really nice race in this race last year. 2 years ago, finished sixth off a £2 lower mark behind Scatter Dice. And he was drawn in 20 that day. He's much better drawn, he's in much better form. I think at 20-1, Oriental Fox is the each way play, but I think Heartbreak City's the one they all have to beat.
All right, a couple of angles in there to the Cesarewitch. As usual, Ross, let's just have a quick summary if you'll spin us through your selections for Saturday one more time.
Yeah, we'll go for King Robert in the 250 at York. We'll have two against the field, Highlander Claim and Moonraker in the 325 at York. Air Force Blue to win the Dewhurst and Heartbreak City in the Cesarewitch with Oriental Fox an each way play.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Ross. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
Thank you, Mark. You too.
There you go, the thoughts of Ross Briley on Saturday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:35 PM. Gordon Brown, Andy Holding and Gary Capel will be the team in the studio. We've got day two of the Future Champions Festival at Newmarket. There's good racing at York, jumping from Chepstow and Hexham, and all other action in the evening from Chelmsford City. Plenty to look forward to. A real superb Saturday of racing in prospect. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.